So last week, I participated in an online worldwide conference for spiritual leaders called Navigating the Global Dark Night of the Soul. Yeah, intense. Intense, I know, but I thought it might have lessons for us all as we navigate the changes occurring in our congregation and the upcoming elections later this year and the aftermath of the pandemic and the ongoing climate degradation and so many more challenges that face us right now in our personal and collective lives. My beloveds, I know that so many of us are traversing extraordinary times of change and challenge. So I've been reflecting on how best to encourage and support us. What spiritual tools might help us anchor ourselves and one another when the seas are choppy all around? Now, of course, as most of you know, we're preparing to move out of this beautiful sanctuary in 5 weeks' time. We've been renting this space for the last 16 years with great gratitude to our landlords, and now it's been sold to new owners. Our last service here will take place on June 16th, and we'll spend the final 2 weeks of June moving out. And as we get closer to that date, it's inevitable that anxiety levels may rise and the seas we navigate may feel more choppy. The congregation may question its decision to move, which it chose to do to find a larger, more visible space in the community with outdoor areas to allow us to more fully live into our mission and serve more families and children in the wider community. But that doubt may arise especially because our new home has not yet materialized. Now, temporarily, we are going to be fine, housed across the way in our beautiful fellowship hall building that we own outright. Yay! Thanks to all of you. Now, many of you have been working on preparing that space to be a good short-term home for that, and thank you so much for that, and thank you, Randy and Claudia, for leading those efforts. And I look forward to us using that wonderful building fully with renewed spaces so worshiping together will have fresh possibilities. If you haven't checked out our new lounge, I invite you to do so. It's going to be really cozy. It's going to have a piano in it. It'll be a piano lounge. And we'll have lots of new spaces to hold worship in. So it's very exciting. So my friends, we're not going to be homeless. Nevertheless, it's hard to leave this beautiful sanctuary that we've known and loved for the last 16 years without a clear future ahead. It reminds me of the story from the Hebrew Bible, from both the Jewish and Christian tradition, about Moses. Moses received messages from God to take the Israelites out of Egypt after 400 years of enslavement there. And it took 12 plagues and many negotiations with Pharaoh before they were able to leave. And eventually they emigrated, but were soon beset by fears and doubts about what they had left behind and where they were going. And we find ourselves now a little like the Israelites in the Sinai Desert, on the dusty plains of transition. We're leaving the familiar walls of the sanctuary, a place that holds many of our community's memories, while the horizon shimmers like a mirage of sorts, promising a new home. But the path is as yet unclear. It was an act of hope and deep faith for Moses and the Israelites to leave their home of many generations, despite the difficult circumstances, and head into the desert to try and reach freedom and the promised land of Canaan. And likewise, this move is an act of hope and faith for our community. Yet in the midst of this desert experience, the Israelites discovered an opportunity for growth, for renewal, and spiritual transformation. And just as they were guided by pillars of cloud and fire, our congregation can find solace and direction in our Unitarian Universalist principles and values and in the courage of our fellowship. Together, we can draw strength from our shared faith, our beautiful mission, and our history of making it through transitions and supporting one another. And some of you have been here 40, 50 years and have seen us through so much. Now, doubt, like the scorching sun, may beat down, and we may yearn for the comfort of the known, the ease of established routines. But just as the Israelites relied on manna from heaven for sustenance when they were starving in the desert, and it was a matter of life and death, we too have reserves to draw upon, and it's not a matter of life and death. Compassion and care for one another will be our desert spring. Our mission will be our guiding light, and the strength of our community will be the wind at our backs. Of course, there will be grumblings. Voices will rise, just as they did among the Israelites, questioning the path, yearning for a return to the way things used to be. But within our congregation lies the wisdom of Moses, our many steadfast leaders and members who will remind us that we have done this before and the promise that lies ahead of us. Please join us on June 9th to hear stories of resilience and transition from some of our longtime members. Meanwhile, this time in the desert isn't merely about finding a new physical space. It's about transformation for us as a community. It's about deepening our faith, our trust, our commitment to each other, and our vision for the future. And just as the Israelites received the Ten Commandments during their exodus at Mount Sinai, we too will emerge from this desert experience with a renewed sense of purpose and a stronger sense of mission for the congregation we are becoming during these demanding times. Just the other day, a team of leaders met to put together a vision portfolio about Chalice, highlighting the important work that we do in this community and how we hope to grow in service to the Conejo Valley and beyond. And this is strengthening our resolve and our clarity that we are a unique fellowship with so much to offer so many during these challenging times. Please never forget that. Many of us are deeply committed to this process unfolding and believe it will help us grow, deepen our faith, and extend our community and reach. And of course, there are others who question this decision, who want the reassurance of certainty, which is quite natural. It's natural to want to control our future and reduce anxiety and struggle. Change is hard for the best of us. And this journey may be arduous, my friends, but it is also full of possibility. We may encounter unexpected allies, just as the Israelites met Jethro, who offered them guidance and support. We may discover hidden strengths within ourselves and our fellowship. And when we finally reach our new home sweet home, which this bottle here we placed on our altar when we started the process, and we are waiting to be able to spread this earth in the ground around our new home sweet home. When we finally reach it, it will be all the more cherished because of the trials that we have overcome together. So, my friends, I invite us to wander through this wilderness with open hearts and minds. Let us face our challenges with courage and faith, remembering that we take this journey together, not alone. For just as the Israelites ultimately reached the promised land, so too will our congregation find a new home, a place where our spirits can soar and our light can continue to shine brightly. We're in this together, my friends. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. And as I've been traversing my own complex life transitions recently, there have been times when I felt really lost, downcast, and I couldn't see my way through. And when each day felt like an enormous hurdle to overcome, of course, I've shared before, I always seemed to be a living experiment for my sermons. And as Emerson said, sermons should be life passed through the fire of experience. So last week, taking this Global Dark Night of the Soul seminar, I had my own dark night of the soul, which was really hard to get through, but it gave me answers of what I needed to talk about today. And I found the following anchors to help stabilize me among the choppy waters, but I hope they might help you too. These anchors are drawn from various spiritual traditions, mindfulness practices, psychology, poetry, and earth-centered practices. And I call it the bags approach, to carry with us so that we can easily remember these anchors with an acronym. You know how useful an acronym is. So you may know that during an anxiety attack or a difficult time, breathing into a paper bag can help you steady yourself. If you've never tried it, I recommend you try it. So imagine when you feel anxious, afraid, or uncertain that you have your own brown paper bag, just a little brown paper bag, and then you can use this bags approach. And in this method, B stands for breath and body. So often when we feel fear or anxiety, our breathing becomes shallow and we disconnect from our body and we have anxious thoughts running through our minds. And if we feel stuck with our life circumstances, we may even hold our breath. I noticed I was doing a lot of that last week. So take a moment now to observe your breath. Is it shallow? Are you holding it? Or is your breath flowing with ease? The B for breath and body reminds us to take a deep in-breath or inspiration, followed by a longer exhalation or expiration. And we might even wish to hold our breath for a moment after the inhalation to take stock of the gift of our breath before we drop down into our bodies like that rock did in our meditation with a long, slow exhalation. Lengthening and calming our breathing and connecting in with our bodies helps our anxiety reduce and brings us into this moment. Just like in our story of the glitter jar earlier, allow your breath to settle any anxious thoughts. So let's do it together in this moment. I invite us to take a deep breath in, hold it, and now breathe out. Let it go, long breath, and just notice how that feels in your body. And as we continue, I invite you to continue taking deep breaths. So what's the A for in the bags approach? The A is for awareness. Just like consciousness of our breath calms us in the moment, awareness is another tool to come into the present. So as you look around you now, take a look at what you see, what comes into your vision. And look at what you're touching with your hands, with your arms, with your legs, with your feet. And what do you hear? What can you smell? What can you taste in this moment in your mouth? So take a look around you and listen and sniff and taste and sense. What's present around and within you, right here, right now, coming into the now through our senses, helps us remember that this moment now, and now, and now, is all we truly have. There is no past, and maybe no future to worry about. We are here in the now, and it is multifaceted, engaging, and alive to our senses if we focus on it. And here's the G. The G in bags stands for gratitude and grounding. So I invite us to consciously shift our thinking from our spinning minds and our worries or concerns to what is good in this moment. Can you think of something that is good in this very moment? What are you grateful for? Even the tiniest thing, like being amidst this community with friends, having heard the choir sing their beautiful anthem, being able to take a breath, or seeing our lit chalices. And then place your feet firmly on the ground, when possible in the earth, connecting with nature and the rhythms of the earth. As we say in our joys and sorrows, the earth holds us during our time together on this planet. And the more we can go and feel that, ideally with our bare feet on the ground, the more connected we can become to the miracle of existence. So when things feel really hard, I found it helpful to find something to be grateful for and some way to ground my body in the earth and know that this great, powerful earth has and holds us all. And finally, the S of bags is about what remains the same and the next step. Amid so much change, think about what does remain the same in this time. We're here together on this planet, alive at the same time, living lives of purpose and value in community. We, the people, remain the same. We, the people, are chalice. We're not our physical structures, even though they're comforting and wonderful to have, and though it will be wonderful for us to have our forever home sweet home soon, we know we can survive and thrive even during transition, just like we did when we were online for 2 years during COVID. And look at us, here we are, all together still. Just like the Israelites did over 40 years, our community remains steady through all the storms of life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So what else remains the same in our lives? What has remained the same for humanity throughout history? Well, the sun always rises. Thank you. And the night always comes. Thank you. And winter turns to spring, and babies are born, and life goes on. And no matter what's going on, there's always something good and reliable to find in our lives. Right? And the S also stands for the next step. And I know some of you are going through physical challenges right now, and when times feel tumultuous, all we can do is take the next right step. We can't leap 10 steps ahead. We can make contingency plans for the future, of course. For example, should our Fellowship Hall building sell, we've secured a place to rent temporarily at the United Methodist Church of Westlake Village, and we're going to meet with them this afternoon to finalize arrangements while we keep looking for our permanent home sweet home. But we need to keep asking ourselves, what is our next step right now? Just the next one. And our next step as a community is moving into Fellowship Hall together and making the most of that wonderful home that we own outright. What a blessing. We get to save on rent for a little while. And make pancakes, eat pancakes, and sit in comfortable lounges and hang out together. I learned that next step lesson when I broke both of my feet last year. Remember, this time last year, I was limping around on crutches. I didn't know how long they would take to heal or how I'd manage alone in a foreign country without being able to walk or speak the language. I literally had to slow down and take one step at a time and become really present in the moment with my pain, with my breath, with my awareness, while finding opportunities to be grateful and recognize that there were still good things in my life. And of course, we know that anything can happen at any time. Everything can change, for the good or the bad, in a moment. But just when the future feels uncertain and it seems like we have no possibilities, no options, unexpected opportunities can arise as if from nowhere. When I broke my feet, I was lying in a hospital hallway, alone. And I had no idea how I'd make it through the next day, let alone where I was going to sleep that night or where I'd stay, or how I'd get around in a foreign country where I knew no one and didn't speak the language. And yet each new day, a new unexpected possibility arose, including complete strangers offering to drive hundreds of miles to pick me up and take me to their home to recuperate, where they had a wheelchair and a hospital bed and all the things I needed. I mean, it was unbelievable. And as a people of faith, we have to be open to such miracles, to the unexpected, to things we cannot yet envision or imagine. And, you know, sometimes we need to be open-hearted for those things to happen to us. We need to reach desperation for the way to open before us. If we like to feel in control, surrendering, which of course I never do. Matt, that was too loud, that laugh. Surrendering and trusting are big spiritual lessons that we're being invited to undertake at this time. To trust in life and surrender to what is unfolding in the moment. We just have to muster the courage to be with not knowing. And meanwhile, we acknowledge what we're going through. We offer each other compassion and kindness. Some of us will be up on some days and others of us will be down, and those up will support those down, and then it'll switch around the next day. And then we surrender into what's happening, allowing it to unfold, because things always shift eventually. My beloveds, there's a space within each one of us that no one can take away, even in our darkest moments. A home of peace, a home of joy and love that every one of us has access to. If we get quiet and listen deeply within. That stability is not determined by external conditions. In fact, the deepest safety that we can find amidst choppy seas is our home within, our inner wisdom. And some may call this God, and others may call it inner knowing, and some may call it wisdom or love. But I invite us all to find pockets of quiet in our lives so that we can listen deeply to that voice. Let it calm and guide you. So I found that this BAGS approach is helpful, even though it has a terrible acronym. But as we navigate these times of change as individuals and as a community, I invite you to share what resources you and what wisdom you have with one another. What gives you strength and courage? What anchors you in the midst of choppy waters? And although these may not be ideal circumstances anybody would have consciously chosen, it's an opportunity to share our wisdom, our resources, and pull together as a community and deepen our faith and gratitude for what we have and who we are together. It's a chance to build a stronger vision for the future. And we have a magnificent opportunity to grow and transform. Isn't that what we're all about here in this community? Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, we transform the world. Thank you. If we are willing to be open and changed in good ways by the experiences we go through. And we are spiritually courageous, absolutely. Our community's anchors are the love we share, our presence together, our music, our trust of one another, the work we do out in the world, and our opportunity to gather each week for spiritual grounding and communal wisdom. We can hold each other with compassion and encourage each other when the going gets tough. My friends, we've got this. Yeah? do we? Yes. We've got this together. So I close with a beautiful poem called For the Hardest Days by Clint Smith. Some evenings after days when the world feels like it's poured out all its despair onto me, when I'm awash with burdens that rest atop my body like a burlap of jostling shadows, I find a place to watch the sunset. I dig my feet into a soil that has rebirthed itself a million times over. I listen to the sound of leaves as they decide whether or not it is time to descend from their branches. It is hard to describe the comfort one feels in sitting with something you trust will always be there, something you can count on to remain familiar when all else seems awry. How remarkable it is to know that many have watched the same sunset before you. How the wind can carry pollen and drop it somewhere it has never been. How the leaves have always become the soil that then again become the leaves again. How maybe we are not so different than the leaves. How maybe we are also always being reborn to be something more than we once were. How maybe that's what waking up each morning is. A reminder that we are born of the same atoms as every plant and bird and mountain and ocean around us. May it be so.